Best Laid Plans of the Man from Uncle Fick. Written by Safi 1013. Read by Dr. Fumbles McStupid. Pairing Ilya Napoleon Gabby. Summary. Tired of Ilya and Gabby's interminable flirtation, Napoleon decides to intervene so the two of them can get on with it already. He may inadvertently make some tactical errors along the way. Appreciating the headlines of anticipation is practically a requirement for people in Napoleon's line of work. Still, he's convinced that Ilya and Gabby have elevated it to a completely different level. Not a day goes by when they're not pretending to ignore each other, sniping at each other verbally, or tentatively flirting with the kind of awkwardness reserved for adolescence. Sometimes all three in the same day. It's exhausting. Another week of this and Napoleon is going to get cavities. He mentally calculates their hotel suite distance to the pavement and the air resistance of the Egyptian cotton sheets, and decides it's not worth the risk. Fortunately, they're taking surveillance in shifts, attempting to pinpoint the exact courier being used to ferry sensitive communiques among Thresh agents in France. This gives Napoleon plenty of time to nudge his partners in the right direction, so that maybe, during one of his shifts, they can stop dithering already. He does his best to avoid thinking about what exactly, he hopes, thinks they'll get up to while he's gone. It's distracting and unprofessional. So while Ilya is posing as a cab driver, tailing the first Thresh agent to figure out which locations are the likeliest drop points, Napoleon has brunch with Gabby. She's wearing slim white clam diggers, and a sleeveless blue paisley button-down knotted just below her sternum, a white swath of midriff bared in between, also a pair of oversized powder blue cat's-eye sunglasses with opaque lenses, so he can't tell if she's looking at him or not. Napoleon keeps his own gaze studiously fixed on his newspaper. "How long have you been with Uncle Gabby?" "Longer than you," she replies coolly, taking a sip of her mimosa, as if she hadn't flaunted her seniority several times already. "Well, yes," he concedes. "I was wondering if you'd care to illuminate me on a particular bit of Uncle policy." One eyebrow lifts high enough to be seen over the frames of her sunglasses. No mean feat. "Oh? What exactly are the rules about fraternization?" The silence that follows stretches out so long that he drops the corner of his newspaper to get a better look at her body language. She folds her arms primly and leans forward over the table, expression giving nothing away. "The usual, I suppose. Why do you ask?" He thinks she might have a fork tucked under her elbow. "Maybe I'm asking for a friend." She smirks and leans back. "You don't have any friends." He blinks, stung. "I do, or I did before I was unceremoniously press-ganged into all this world-saving business." "You could have made a clean getaway at least 6 times since I've known you," Gabby points out. "Admit it, you like playing the good guy." "It's not about being good," Napoleon informs her airily, folding up his newspaper. "It's about being great." He stands, dropping his newspaper onto the breakfast table. As far as exit lines go, it's not one of his best, but it'll do. Gabby is out shopping, stopping in at cafes, taking photos of landmarks, all the usual rich tourist in Paris pastimes. Napoleon is letting Ilya beat him in chess. He knew as soon as he sat down it was a loss, but he and Ilya aren't usually inclined towards idle chit-chat, unless, of course, Napoleon is attempting to throw Ilya off his game, as he is now, if only to make his defeat a little less embarrassing. "You know, Ilya, indulging in decadent capitalist nonsense every once in a while won't actually kill you," Napoleon says, gesturing to his partner's worn leather jacket. "You obviously know how to dress well, but your wardrobe is still so small it could pack up into one of Gabby's little handbags." Ilya doesn't look up from the board. "There's nothing wrong with my clothes." Napoleon gives him a brilliant, patently insincere smile. "Ah, but you clean up so well." "We already have you, if we have need of a fop." Napoleon would kill to know what books Ilya had read to learn English. He comes up with the strangest words at the most unexpected moments. "Fine, then, forget clothes. There are always the less material indulgences, experiential ones. Music, dancing, gambling." Napoleon gives up his bishop. "Ladies?" "Not interested." "In ladies?"
Napoleon blinks, taken aback. Ilya gives him a look. An empty, unfulfilling encounters with strangers. Ah, that makes more sense. That's not at all what I mean, Napoleon says, giving up his rook. And you know it. Ilya frowns darkly, tapping his index finger against the crown of his queen. I don't know anything of the sort, he says, and knocks over Napoleon's king with a knight out of nowhere, leaving before the fallen piece has even stopped rolling across the table. Napoleon spends his evening shift planting bugs on the windowsills of a penthouse suite, with a lovely view of the Eiffel Tower. He's too busy planning his next intervention to enjoy the sights. Maybe a more straightforward approach, he thinks. I'm just saying, he murmurs to Gabby when they're touring the Louvre, arm in arm, keeping their target within sight during the casual meander through the galleries. Given our line of work, the excitement, the glamour, the romance, he shrugs. Well, it's not uncommon for agents to develop less than platonic affections in the heat of the moment. I'll remind you of the glamour the next time I have to fish you and Ilya out of a Venetian canal. Napoleon suppresses a grimace at the memory. Look, if you're afraid of commitment, don't be. Most agents harbor no illusions about their life expectancy. She stops in her tracks, looking incredulous. You think my problem is that I'm afraid of commitment? It was one hypothesis, yes. Strike two, she tells him, and refuses to respond any further on the matter. He and Ilya are in a truck watching the private airstrip for the smuggler's jet, stealth jet to be precise, the tech a marvelous bonus to shutting down the sordid operation, and starts, I'll come right out with it. Then their back window shatters, the cab is filling up with smoke, and there's rather a lot of gunfire, also shouting, bleeding, and running, shuffle and repeat. When it's all over, Gabby spirits them away on the jet, the thrush operation in shambles, but the ringleaders escaped, likely to start their schemes up anew in another corner of the globe. Napoleon complains at length, and loud enough for Gabby to hear from the cockpit, for the duration of Ilya's idea of first aid. Don't make me come back there, she says. She won't be as gentle as I am, Ilya says, with the sliver of a smile, and then tightens the dressing around Napoleon's ribs. Napoleon hisses in protest, too out of breath to give a snappy retort. As a reward for the stealth jet technology, they get a whole weekend to themselves in Madrid before their next assignment starts. There's to be a scientific conference next week, and it looks less suspicious if they arrive first and establish their covers while they wait. Plus, they have time to plant as many bugs as they like. Correction! Ilya and Gabby can plant as many bugs as they like. Napoleon is given strict orders to keep strenuous activity to a minimum until their next mission starts, and to exercise reasonable caution after that. Well, at least he's here to laze about, Gabby comments. True, Ilya says. It would be shameful for him to die because he didn't duck in time. Ilya has already declared that Napoleon isn't allowed to get himself killed now that they're on the same side. This is supposed to be a compliment. Napoleon is too good an agent to die by any lesser man's hand, or something. He hadn't really known what to say. But, same to you, Pero. And Ilya had nodded, satisfied. Gabby surveys the suite with a critical eye. 3 bedrooms and a common room, a small balcony off to one side that faces the right direction for their surveillance equipment, and a single generous bath with a partition between the facilities and the double sinks. It'll do, she declares, unpacking her hat box and lifting her false bottom to retrieve the parts for the directional microphone. I can set up here, if you'll be fine doing the first looks alone, Ilya. Ilya snorts and gets his camera. Napoleon takes advantage of her preoccupation to claim the first shower. When he shuts the water off, he hears a tap on the door. Won't be long, he says. Did you mean what you were saying in Paris? Gabby asks, voice barely intelligible through the door. It takes a moment for Napoleon to realize what she's talking about. Ah, yes, Ilya. Absolutely, he says, belting his robe around him and scrubbing a towel through his hair. He'll shave in the morning, he decides. Good. Because I gave it some thought, and I think you might have been right after all, she says, and he feels a flood of relief as he pads over to his room to change. Well, that's... His sentence falters when he spots Gabby waiting for him. Fantastic, he finishes. I thought this was my room. It is, she says from his bed, smoothing down the sheets around her hips. And your clothes are... In my room, she answers. Of course they are, he says, thinking distinctly. It makes perfect sense. He tries to think quickly, the process somewhat hindered by the truly spectacular view. Miles of bare leg, and the swell of her hip, and the corner of the sheet more a tease than an actual attempt at modesty. Instincts already at war, he physically startles at the sound of a key in the door to the hall. He says, let me just. And he backs away from her into the common room, closing the door to his room behind him. It's Ilya, of course, coming back from recon. Where's Gabi? He asks. Napoleon looks over at her door. It's closed, too. Taking a nap, maybe? You know how she is when she travels. Out like a light. Good. Because I wanted to. If Ilya keeps fiddling with that camera, he's going to ruin his film. He seems to realize it, too, and sets it on the side table, balling up his fists. I was a coward before. You were trying to tell me something important, and I was too scared to listen. So, with visible effort, he meets Napoleon's gaze and takes the handful of steps across the room to lay his hand on Napoleon's shoulder. I wanted to apologize. Napoleon is too shocked to respond. Ilya apologizing? Admitting weakness? He's half tempted to check the other man for surgical scars, in case he's a Thresh agent in disguise. Or brainwashed somehow? And then Ilya's hand is on his jaw, and his mouth is on Napoleon's, and... Wait, what? Oh no. There's a moment where Napoleon registers the novelty of kissing a man whose name he knows in a fully lit room. He so rarely gets the trifecta. But the madness passes, and he tries to step back, hands flailing for purchase and landing on the doorknob. And he stumbles backwards as the door opens, realizing only too late. Ilya recoils when he hears Gabby's gasp, and there's a long moment of stunned silence as they all stare. I think there's been a terrible misunderstanding, Napoleon tries, but it's like the sound of his voice breaks some fragile equilibrium in the room. Ilya pulls away from Napoleon, out of arm's reach, and Gabby gets to her feet, wrapping the sheet around her as she stands. There's rather a lot of shouting. Much as he'd like to say otherwise, Napoleon's never been in this situation before. He tries to sort out the tangle of German and Russian, and a smattering of impressive insults cribbed from other languages. Made my intentions perfectly clear, Ilya is saying. You were the one who... Meanwhile, Gabby's not even listening, deep into her own tirade. So if I found out, would you have told me that he didn't mean anything to you? That it didn't change how you felt about me? I've heard that line plenty of times and have no interest in hearing it again. Napoleon doesn't know whether he should be relieved they aren't yelling at him, or hurt that they aren't, in fact, fighting over him. Hang on, hang on, he says, raising his hands placatingly. Gabby bats away the one nearest her, and Ilya does something to the other wrist with a twisting pinch that leaves Napoleon's fingers numb. I was trying to set you two up. Gabby sniffs, eyes flashing. That much is obvious. Your attempts to play us against one another are clear at this point, Ilya mutters. No, I was. Napoleon shakes his head, and then gives Gabby a good shove forward with a palm in the small of her back. She stumbles into Ilya, whose arms come up reflexively before he realizes he doesn't know where to put his hands. Setting you two up, he repeats, and they stare at each other for a minute. They're quick enough to get his meaning without any further explanation. Oh, Gabby says, her eyes going soft. Ilya flushes, glancing away. So you didn't want to sleep with me? I wouldn't say that, Napoleon says, and lifts his hand again when Ilya glares. She was making a compelling case before you walked in, he says, and spots the flash of Gabby's grin before she tucks it away again. Aren't you going to ask the same thing? Gabby asks Ilya. Ilya ducks his head, still not meeting her eyes. When a woman kisses a man who is not interested, he is usually polite, can be easy to misunderstand. When a man kisses a man, rejection is not so polite. No misunderstanding. Gabby looks to Napoleon, who shrugs and inclines his head to confirm this with a slight grimace. His voice is so quiet that Napoleon almost doesn't hear him when he adds, And I wouldn't have lied to you, Gabby. She leans into him, and Napoleon starts planning a graceful exit. What? She asks. I wouldn't have lied to you. I wouldn't have said it meant nothing. I don't get close to people I'm not close with, who I don't trust. I trust him. I also trust you. Napoleon Solo is an expert codebreaker, but it still takes him a moment for Ilya's meaning to sink in. Oh, Gabby says, giving him a small, careful smile. Well, that's that. She lifts one hand to cup Ilya's cheek in her palm, and goes on tiptoe to plant a quick kiss on his mouth, which goes slack with surprise. Napoleon isn't entirely sure, but that might be his cue to leave. He shifts to slide out through the door behind Ilya, and Gabby's quick little hand snags the lapel of his robe in a grip as strong as steel. "And where do you think you're going?" she asks, leaning over, using her other hand on Ilya's shoulder as leverage. She breathes. "You're not getting out of trouble that easily," before her lips catch his. He keeps his eyes open, watching Ilya for signs of flaring temper, but Ilya's frown seems more bemused than angry. "You don't mean..." Ilya starts. Gabby pulls away from Napoleon after a tantalizingly brief moment. "And why not?" she asks. Unlike Ilya, whose embrace remains within polite boundaries, Napoleon does know where to put his hands. He finds the trailing hem of the sheet and slips his hands between the layers, finding her waist, warm and sweetly curved beneath his palm.
It's not done."
"I assure you it is," Napoleon replies. "There are a few clubs we could go to where we wouldn't stand out at all." "A very few, admittedly, but he deals in secrets and in scandal as a matter of course, so he's familiar with any number of special interest establishments around the globe. Besides, our daily routine involves theft, blackmail, and occasional assassination, among other unpleasantries," Gabby points out. "What we choose to do in our own beds hardly rates."
"Beds," Napoleon adds, bending down to graze his lips along the delicate sweep of her neck. "Being negotiable, of course."
He flicks his gaze up to meet Ilya's with a smile, gratified to see the latter is regarding them both with poorly veiled longing. "Fair point," she concedes, and then shifts, angling between them, shoulder blades against Napoleon's chest, his hand slipping over the soft arc of her belly between her hip bones. He's half tempted to move lower, but she's bracing against him, so instead he takes her weight in his arms, against his ribs, as she hooks her leg around Ilya's and pulls. For once, he comes along easily, bowing to meet her, irresistible force winning the spout against a movable object. His belt buckle presses against the back of Napoleon's hand as they kiss in front of him, deep and unhurried. With his other hand, Napoleon takes the opportunity to divest Ilya of that belt, plus his tie, his cufflinks, and his wallet. He leaves the watch, of course. Gabby takes care of the jacket. Napoleon feels like her own personal jungle gym, while she arches her back, tilting her hips, and doing something that makes Ilya groan beautifully. It's entirely possible for them to continue like this, Ilya's hand finally moving south to cup her lovely little rear. Napoleon could probably get Ilya's fly for him. Ilya could lift her easily, and then just... True to form, Ilya seems to have other plans. His mouth has slipped from hers, and traveled to the arch of her throat, to her shoulder and collarbone. Napoleon does what he can to help, tugging away the sheet so that Ilya has access to more skin, and not coincidentally, improving Napoleon's already stellar view. Gabby tips her head back against his shoulder, and sighs, looping her arms up around Napoleon's neck so that she can play with the hair at his nape. Ilya ends up on his knees, Gabby's leg hooked over his shoulder, as he licks past Napoleon's fingers and into her cunt.
"But you," she says, breath short, pitch high. "Napoleon, oh, Ilya, please, oh."
Napoleon palms her breast, holding her up as Ilya breaks her apart carefully and methodically, once and then again, until her knees tremble and her nails have raised welts on the back of Napoleon's neck. Ilya's teeth drag against Napoleon's knuckles, eyes knowing as he looks up, making Napoleon's vague and pleasantly diffused arousal flare and sharpen to a laser focus.
"What were you saying about beds?" Gabby says, twisting to ghost her mouth along Napoleon's jawline.
A thousand options run through Napoleon's mind, and as he tries to sort through them all, it finally begins to dawn on him just how far in over his head he's gotten. He's usually so good about compartmentalizing these things, but Gabby's so soft and light in his arms, and Ilya's so patient and solid at their feet, that it feels like an embarrassment of riches. Even for a man like him, who refuses to believe there's any shame in getting rich. Ilya's sitting back on his heels, and Gabby's regained her feet with her usual grace, both looking at him expectantly.
"That sounds like a marvelous idea," Napoleon says, giving them a wide grin.
"Oh, Napoleon," Gabby says, smoothing one hand along the side of his face, a canny light in her eyes. Ilya's fingers hook into the already sloppy knot in Napoleon's bathrobe.
"It is all right, truly, isn't it?"
He swallows hard, caught more firmly in the trap he inadvertently built for himself than in any of the snares international organizations have repeatedly laid out for him. Still, he nods.
Good, Ilya says, because this is all your fault anyways. But you will be making it up to us, I think. Yes?
For once, Peril, Napoleon says, letting his fingertips trace the line of the scar on Ilya's temple. You might be right. Gabby laughs, delighted, and leads the way to bed. End.